Okay. Good Thanksgiving to everybody. We have this week in Parshas Vayetze the story of Rachel stealing the trophim, stealing the idols of her father Lavan. And the question that is asked amongst the commentaries, is that not geneva? Is that not stealing? Now apparently, because the purpose of the stealing was to keep her father from worshipping her, having a avodah zarah, apparently it was allowed. What we're going to discuss tonight is one allowed to steal or to cause damage in order to prevent somebody from violating an isser in the Torah? We're not talking about any type of damage, but are you allowed to steal or to damage a cheftza shel isser, an item that inherently is usser, so that your friend, your neighbor, your coworker will not violate an isser in the Torah? We're going to go through a lot of practical examples in a moment before we get to some of the sources that discuss it. But, you know, just for example, you're at work and there's a shared, refrigerator, and your Jewish coworker puts his ham sandwich in there for lunch. So you see that your Jewish coworker, with a very obviously Jewish name, and you know the person is Jewish, is going to have a ham sandwich for lunch. Are you allowed to dispose of, for him, on his behalf, that ham sandwich? Obviously, we're going to ignore just for the evening the issues of Dina de Malchus Adina, and the law of the land, but technically in the eyes of the Torah. Now, this is used as a proof. The story of Rachel and Yaakov is used as a proof in the Tshuvas of the Beis Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Shpelkas, in Eben Ezer, and Chelek Aleph, and Siman Tav Zayin, and again by the Avnei Ezer, and Yeradei, and Siman Kufchaf Aleph, that stealing to be mafrish miyisura, to steal something to stop somebody from violating an Isser, is not considered a maisig zeil, an act of stealing. And therefore, it would seem that if you damage and steal from someone in order to prevent them from violating Isser, it would be allowed. However, the Shvus Yaakov in Chela Gimel, this is cited by the Kli Chemda in Parshas Vayishlach, argues that this is not the case, because the only reason why Rachel was allowed to do that was because it was for Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is a very severe prohibition in the Torah, and therefore that's why it was allowed. The Avodah Zarah is meant to be burnt. We know the Torah says of Asherehem, Sisrafun Be'esh, that you will burn the Avodah Zarah in fire, and therefore the Avodah Zarah is considered to be Hefker. Any Avodah Zarah is considered to be ownerless because it's already designated to be destroyed in the eyes of the Torah, and therefore Rachel never had an issue with Geneva, because Avodah Zarah is always going to be up for destruction according to the eyes of the Torah. But any other object that's used for Yisurim, says the Kli Chemda, cannot be stolen. Rav Shlomo Kluger and the Chachmas HaTorah discussed this as well in this week's Parsha. Now, let's get to a question on the Parsha. Why was it that Rachel dies in childbirth? Now, the Zohar, in this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayetze, and Daf Kuf Samach Dalib, says that even though that Rachel took the Avodah Zarah from her father to prevent him from being Ovid Avodah Zarah, worshipping idolatry, and she had good intentions, nevertheless, says the Zohar, she was punished by not being able to raise Binyamin in this world, because she caused pain to her father. Mida keneged mida. Because she caused pain to her father by stealing that Avodah Zarah, she was punished with not being able to be a parent to Binyamin. This is cited by the Chida in the Shiurei Bracha in Yeradei and Hilchos Kibud Av Em in Siman Reish Mem Aleph. Now, many of the Mefarshim who discuss the Zohar ask a question. We know that there's another great person in the Torah who also destroyed or ruined his father's Avodah Zarah, and he wasn't punished. He was hailed a hero. We tell our kids about it in kindergarten. So how come Avram Avinu is turned into this hero for breaking the Avodah Zarah of his father Terach, and according to the Zohar, Rachel is schlepped through the dirt because, you know, she's punished because she breaks or steals her father's Avodah Zarah. Why in the eyes of Chazal, in those two Midrashim, why is that fair? How come Avram is treated one way and Rachel is treated a different way? What's the difference between the two cases? In addition, the Midrashim say that Avram was praised by Hashem for what he did. It's the Zechus of Avram that he gave special favors to Klal Yisrael. It's not just that he got out of jail free. He's praised for what he did. So we're going to offer very quickly, before we get to the halacha, three different approaches to explain the difference between Avram and Rachel. Rav Meir Eliyahu is a young Ilui, a fantastic Talmud Chacham, lives in Eretz Yisrael, in his Sefer Merkavos Argaman. So he suggests that Rashi, in Bereishis and Perek Tesvav, says that Terach did tshuva after Avram broke the Avodah Zarah. And therefore he was mochel, he forgave his son for what he did, and there was no punishment for Avram. But Lavan never did tshuva, and Lavan never found out what happened, and he never regretted serving Avodah Zarah, and therefore he never was able to be mochel for what happened. And therefore, because there was no mechila, Rachel was punished for what she did. In addition, Avram may have never been chayiv in honor of his father at all. We actually mentioned this a few weeks ago, the opinion of the big day Aaron in Parshas Lech Lecha, that because Avram tried to have, because Terach tried to have his son killed, therefore there was no mitzvah kibud av aim. Lavan was not a great father, but he didn't have to have his, he didn't try to have his children killed. And therefore, that might be the difference between the two. That's suggestion number one. I saw Rav Chagai Preshel in his Sefer Bechegvei Hasela. He notes that the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam say that Rachel stole the Avodah Zarah having nothing to do with her father's worship of Avodah Zarah. They have a very different pshat from what we're told in grade school. They explain that Rachel took the trafim, the idols, the statues, because she didn't want her father to use Avodah Zarah and Kishuf, to use magic, in order to figure out where they were headed. Because if he would have had his idols, his little statues, he would have been able to figure out which direction. It would have been some sort of magical GPS, and he would have figured out exactly where Yaakov and Rachel and the family were going. Well, if that's the case, Rachel stealing the trophim wasn't totally lishma for only holy purposes to stop her father from serving the Avodah Zarah. Rather, it was for personal reasons. That's different between her and Avram. Avram, as the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, broke the Avodah Zarah because he was trying to make a point, he was trying to make a Kiddush Hashem, and trying to teach the world about monotheism. Rachel just didn't want to get caught. And that might be difference number two between them. Finally, in the Sefer Avnei Zikaron, he cites the Sefer Chassidim HaChadash, which is cited in the Torah Shleima, or Menachem Kasher's encyclopedic work of Medrash, which says that Rachel was mistaken because she should have asked a shaila to Yaakov. Yaakov was essentially the Gadol Ador. Yaakov was the leading rabbinic figure of the time. She's asking, is stealing of Avodah Zarah is not such a simple thing. We're going to have a whole shir on it. We're about to start in a minute. So clearly it's a shaila here, and therefore she should have asked a shaila. Because she didn't ask a shaila, says the Sefer Chassidim HaChadash, therefore she was punished. If there's a chacham available, you have to ask a question. On the other hand, Avram had no one else to ask. Who was Avram going to ask a shaila to? There was no other body available. Now, we could talk about maybe Shame, Noach was already dead, but you know, Shame was alive. But at the end of the day, Rav Vosner makes the same distinctions we'll talk about later on in the Shevet HaLevi and Chelek Gimel. Now let's come to Halacha Lamaisa. What do the Sugyas say about damaging somebody's Chafetz Shel Isser, item of Isser? You want to throw out your friend's ham sandwich. Your neighbor has gets mail that's inappropriate, whatever it may be, whatever types of things we're talking about. What are we allowed to take the law into our own hands in this case in order to prevent somebody from violating Yisurim? So the first sugya that is discussed by the poskim is the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf Amud Alf. The Gemara says the Rav Ada Bar Ava saw a non-Jewish woman who was wearing a karbalta. Karbalta was some sort of garment while walking in the shuk in the marketplace. And since he thought she was Jewish by mistake, he stood up and he ripped that garment off of her. It was then came to his attention that in fact the lady was not Jewish, and he was taken to court because of the shame that he caused her. And they assessed a payment for the busha, the shame that he caused her, at 400 zuz, which is not a small amount. And ultimately, Rav Ada said to her, he said, "What's your name?" So the woman said, "My name is Masun." And in a play on words, Rav Ada said, "Masun, Masun." Masun means 200 in Aramaic. So he said, "Oh, your name is Masun Masun, 200 and 200, 400 zuz. I see that you got the right amount." Okay. Now, what exactly was Rav Ada Bar Ava thinking? What was this karbalsa that this woman was wearing? So here we have a machlokas, and the machlokas will impact the halacha here. Rashi says it was lavush chashuv, a very nice garment. And the Chachma Shlomo, in the back of the Gemara, explains that Rashi understands that it was a garment of pritzus. She was wearing something that was not appropriate to wear on the street. The Aruch said it was bright red. Bright red is considered, a attracting color, and it wasn't an appropriate garment for this woman to wear that he thought was Jewish. Now, the fact that he removed it doesn't indicate whether the item itself was usher to wear, or he was simply preventing people from seeing preachers or something like that. And therefore, according to Rashi, there's nothing to learn practically from our Gemara over here regarding our Sugya. However, the Shita Mekubetzes the Chuas HaGaonim, the Trumas HaDeshanim, Simen Reshayim Vav, all say that the Karbalsa was made of shatnas. It was a shatnas, a wool linen garment. If that's the case, then Rav Ada was trying to prevent this woman that he thought was Jewish from violating an Isser in the Torah. And this is cited by the Rambam in Hilchos Kalayim, in Perek Hei, in Halacha Chavtes, that you can rip shatnas off of somebody in the middle of the street to prevent them from violating that Isser. And this would prove that one can damage or steal to prevent someone from violating an Isser. D'oraisa, d'rabbanan, that's a different discussion for right now, but to violate an Isser. Now, if you can steal and damage to prevent Isurim, do you have to pay after the fact? Fine. I can steal your ham sandwich to stop you, but I have to give you $5 to repay you for the sandwich. So, according to the Ben Yehoyada and that Gemara, and the Munkach Rav in the Nemukei Arachaim and Simcha Chavdalid, it was the understanding of Rav Ada that if the woman would have been Jewish, he wouldn't have had to pay for the damage. So seemingly, not only is a mutter to ruin the object, but apparently you don't have to pay as well according to these poskim. Nevertheless, back to the matter at hand, we see from the Gemara that if you cause a loss to someone in order to prevent them from violating an Isser, it is allowed. Now, it's important to note the Gemara is speaking about a case where the loss is being done to a cheftza shel Isser, something that is usser. Inherently, the clothing was shatnas. The sandwich has ham. Something by itself is usher to use and to partake in. There is no proof anywhere that you can cause damage to something else to prevent the isser from happening. For example, I know that this person is going to drive to going to be Mechal Shabbos and drive on Shabbos. So I want to stop them from being Mechal Shabbos. So I go into the car. I go into their gas tank and I pour, you know, like lemonade in the gas tank. And you know their car is not going to start the next morning. So I stop them driving to Shabbos. That is not what we're talking about. A car is not a cheftza shel iser. We're not saying you can simply go and do whatever you want and become a vigilante and hurt anything and damage anything to stop people from going against the Torah. We're talking about removing, getting in the way of this forbidden item so it shouldn't be used. Okay, let's look at another sugya. The Gemara in Bava Kamma and Daf Pei, Amud Beis says that chatul, a cat, mutar lahargo, you're allowed to kill cats. Va'asur lekaimo, and you shouldn't sustain them. Ve'en bo mishum gazel, v'lo mishum hashavas aveda. You're allowed. There's no issue of stealing cats, and there's no issue of hashavas aveda. Labayim for the owners. Why? Because even the Gemara knew that cats are terrible animals, and nobody likes cats, and therefore they damage and they hurt and they cause property issues, and therefore having a cat is an irresponsible thing for a Jew to own. This is Saiv Halacha by the Rambam in Hilchos Gzela. Now, you don't think that I'm just against cats, and the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat and Simon Reish Samach Vav, that it is not appropriate to have cats because they damage. Now, we see that it's mutter to cause a loss to someone in order to prevent damage to another person. If I see a cat, that cat is just going to hurt somebody else. Shouldn't it make sense that we can also damage things that can hurt the nefesh, the neshama, the ruchnius of a person? And that wouldn't be considered gzela, stealing. In fact, the Taz in Arachaim and Simon Shinvav and Hilchos Shabbos says that saving a Jew from leaving Judaism is maybe even more important than pikuach nefesh, than actually saving a life. So the Stipler has a piece in the Kilis Yaakov, the first piece in the Kilis Yaakov, in Bava Kamma and Simon Aleph. And he learns that the Isser, the prohibition of damage, where is that sourced? Where does it say in the Torah, don't cause property damage? It doesn't really say it explicitly in the sense it says, don't cause property damage. So the Stipler suggests it's actually learned out from the mitzvah Hashavas Aved, returning lost objects. If you have to return a person's object, and you don't cause object to be lost, then you certainly cannot bring about a loss on your own. If I have to return your object, then certainly I can't cause damage on my own. Now we have discussed, a number of years ago, we've discussed the issue of returning cigarettes that were, if you see somebody lost cigarettes, this is a sugya we discussed a while ago, and a little bit of what we're talking here overlaps with that sugya, and the idea of returning an object that's usher to use. Now, some posts can simply say that it's better to not pick up the object so you don't get into a suffix about what to do at the end of the day with this prohibited object like the cigarettes. However, according to those who say you can actively not return a cheftza shel iser, then there should be room to allow to even damage a chefza shel efser, an item of iser, that belongs to somebody else. That is the second proof. Another proof is from a Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. This I saw in the Sefer Kerem Yosef in the Chedushim on Bava Kama. Now the Gemara there in Bava Kama, in Gemara in Shabbos Daf Dalet, there's actually a well-known sugya for a different discussion, and that is the sugya of allowing a person to violate Shabbos for the sake of Kiruv. Right? The famous question is, can I invite the person over if they're going to drive on Shabbos? The crux of that discussion is the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Dalet, which speaks about someone who placed bread in an oven on Shabbos. Now, not your regular standard oven. Ovens where, if you've been to in Eretz Yisrael, and you've seen them bake pita bread on the sides of ovens, right? They take the dough and they slap it against the side of a concave oven in order the bread will bake on the side of the oven. So that type of baking requires a certain skill set to remove the bread from the oven at the right time so that it doesn't damage the bread. So the Gemara says, let's say my friend put bread on the oven on Shabbos. Now, it's not baking immediately, but at a certain point, in the next 45 seconds, that dough is going to break on Shabbos and they're going to violate the prohibition of Afia. Can I pull that bread off myself on Shabbos, called Rediyas Hapat, take down the bread, and that will prevent that bread from cooking? But you should know that Rediyas Hapat, removing the bread from the oven that's baking on the side, violates an Isser de Rabbanan. Am I allowed to violate one Isser myself that's lower level so my friend doesn't violate a greater Isser later on? That's the same question as, can you invite the person for Shabbos that they're going to violate one Isser, but prevent them from keeping more Isurim later on? Okay, now, the Gemara, at the end of the day, says no, you can't. Now, it's clear from the Gemara, the only issue for the person is to remove the bread on Shabbos is the potential Chil Shabbos of Rediyas Hapas. There is no mention in the Gemara, by the way, that you're going to be ruining the person's bread when you take it off early. How come the Gemara doesn't say that? The Gemara doesn't say, but if you take the person's bread off the oven too early, you're going to ruin the bread and it's not going to be edible and it's going to be destroyed and disgusting. It doesn't say that anywhere. The Mishnah Berurah even goes further in Siman Reish and Daled and says that this entire din is only specific to breaking bread. But if someone's being mevashel, let's say somebody's cooking on Shabbos, you walk into the house and somebody throws a steak on the pan right in front of you on Shabbos. Now, do they violate Bishul yet? Well, not technically, because the steak's not cooked yet. So the Mishnah Berurah says, 100% you can take that steak off without question. But you're going to ruin the steak? Apparently, we don't care. Apparently, in order to stop somebody from violating Shabbos, you can ruin their food so it doesn't get cooked. Another proof indicating that you can ruin a chefza shel iser, an item that is aser, in order to prevent further isurim. Rechayim Kanievsky in the Sefer Derech Sichin Chelek Beis says that he heard B'Shem the Chazanish that you could burn svarim that were pasul, books of heresy, and you don't have to pay for them. Again, I'm not recommending that. We're just showing you the extent to how far we view this. This is cited by Shmuel Ezer Stern in the Kovet Shari Hora, who concludes that you can damage a person's property that would cause them to violate Yisurim. Let's go through some other interesting, if not fascinating, cases where this is discussed. That they bring all the sugars we've talked about for the last 18 minutes. The Sefer Shraga HaMeir in Chelek Aleph was asked about stopping someone who was going to travel on Shabbos. And he cites the Gemara in Brachos regarding stopping someone from wearing shanas. And he quotes the Ramah in Arachayim Simen Tav Resh Nun Vav that you're responsible to spend all your money in order to avoid violating an Aveira. And he extends this to say that if you must spend all your money to avoid an Aveira, then certainly is a mitzvah to cause monetary loss to somebody else in order to prevent them from sinning. Now, that's not the case of the Chefza Shel Iser, so it seems to be a bit extreme, even for us. In Chelek Beis, he says that he was shown a letter from Shimon Halevi Horowitz, the Mashkiach in the famous Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, and in the letter he responds to whether he should return the razor blade of someone who uses the razor to shave their face. And he writes that if there's no way to stop this person from shaving with a razor, then you should break the razor and throw it away. And you should certainly not return it to them. So if you see somebody shaving with a razor, you're allowed to throw it out, according to Rav Shimon HaLevi Horowitz. The Shuvah Shra Gemara has another Shuvah in Chela Gimel, where he was asked about a Baal Shuvah who broke his parents' television in order to prevent them from watching television, because television is bad for the soul. And he says that there's no reason the Baal Shuvah has to pay, and he's done the correct thing. Again, not recommending, just showing the extent of how far this logic can be taken. What else? The Tshuvos Ma'ayan Omer, which are Tshuvos that are, I'm not going to say they are of questionable status, but they are oral Tshuvos from Rav Avadya Yosef by one of his right-hand assistants. And he would ask questions, Rav Avadya would give answers, he would write notes on the bottom. So in Chelek Yud, it says that if a person sees something inappropriate in his neighbor's mail, he's allowed to take it and throw it out. Now, how did he see it in his neighbor's mail? Now, read your paper's neighbor's mail. Okay, a different question. But nevertheless, you'd be allowed to throw it out. In Chelek Yud Aleph, he says it's even usher for the mailman to deliver something that is considered pritzis to another person's home. More contemporary, and certainly somebody who's not an extremist by any means, is the recently departed Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. In his Tshuvas Binyan Ariel, on page 153, he says that if a person lives in a building in Eretz Yisrael, and the people, many of the people in the building are not Shomer Shabbos, you are allowed to keep the, essentially forcibly keep the lights on over Shabbos, so that people will not be Mechal Shabbos. You're allowed to essentially override the system to make sure the lights won't go on Shabbos, so that people who go into the stairwell won't be turning the lights on and off when they're going up and down. Ah, but it's going to cause the electricity bill of everybody in the building to go up. Says Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, no, it's okay. But for the sake of preventing Chol Shabbos, those people can suffer the cost of having a higher electricity bill. In the Tshuvas of Adarash of HaKart and Chelek Aleph, he was asked whether it's mutter to steal or throw out books of Kfira from a person who's reading them and being influenced, and he says it's allowed. He repeats this in Chelek Gimel. In the Tshuvas Avnei Derech of Elchanan Prince in Chelek Ches, says he heard from the author of the Darash of Chakarta that a bus driver can tear down pritzus advertisements from the side of the bus and then tell the bus company he didn't know who did it. He's allowed to do that. This is a long time ago, but I remember they used to say that Rabbi Lamb was once at some New York City function, and he was sitting next to the president of the MTA, something like that, and he gave him muster about how the advertisements inside of the bus are not appropriate, and they carry priestess up and down Manhattan. You know, Halavai, the priestess of then, would be the priestess now. But what else do we have here? The Tshuvas Lev Avram, Lev Avram of Muncie. So he was asked about a case where a school was serving Chalav Akum, not Chalav Yisrael, to their students. And we're not going to get into a discussion now about Chalav Yisrael. But after being asked many, many times to serve Chalav Yisrael and refusing, and the school not listening, someone went and they poured the entire milk delivery from that morning on the ground. A lot of milk lost. So in response to the question of whether the school should be paid for the damage, the Lev Avram says no, and additionally said it's not Baal Tashchis. Wow. Certainly extreme, but again, within the same line of thinking as well. The Tshuvas Vayan David. Vayan David is the Satmar Dayan in Vienna. I think Vienna, one of the cities, in one of the European cities. So he was asked about whether it's mutter to break a television as well, so the owners cannot use it and watch inappropriate things. So he quotes the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, that if there's a slave who's supposed to leave because of Yovel, and he doesn't want to leave, then the owner's allowed to forcibly, essentially, in a very forceful way, shove him out of the house. So why doesn't he want to leave? So the Mefarshim explain, because this Eved Ivri, this Jewish slave, as long as he's a slave, he's allowed to have relations with a Shifcha Knanis, with a non-Jewish woman. And now that the Yovel has come, he's not allowed to anymore. But now he wants to stay a slave, so we continue to have inappropriate relations with this woman. And the Gemara says, you can shove the guy out of the house. You can forcibly stop him from violating that Isser as well. Certainly, says the Vayan David, you can also damage a person's property to stop them from doing an Aveira as well. The Tshuvas Asher Hanan, one of the contemporary poskim in Yisrael in Chelek Ches, he says that he doesn't think the episode of Rachel dying after stealing the idols is a proof against not damaging property, because there are many other midrashim explaining why she passed away, and he doesn't think you can use that in this discussion as well. So let's come now with two more points, and we will bring this all to a conclusion. The one more caveat is, well, what if I'm going to damage their stuff? I'm going to throw the guy's ham sandwich, but he's just going to go buy another one. I'm going to throw the guy's razor, but he's going to go get another one. So what am I supposed to do over here? If I'm not going to stop the person, is there still a mitzvah for me to go and to damage or to throw out the person's property? So in the Sefer Mishpatei Chayim and the Tshuvas V'Darash V'Chakarta, they both suggest that there is no heter to destroy someone else's chefsa shel iser if they're simply going to get another one at the end of the day. And that's something to keep in mind if somebody does decide to take law into their hands. If they're only going to go and get another one right then and there, you're not going to push anything off, then perhaps there's no mitzvah at the end of the day. I actually personally heard this, the same sock, directly from Moshe Sternbach. When I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, my roommates smoked, and it was a bit annoying, so I wanted to throw out their cigarettes so they wouldn't smoke. So Sternbach told me I couldn't do it. Because I went to Sternbach because I knew that Sternbach said that smoking was usher, so I knew that he'd be on my side. So Sternbach said, no, because you're not going to stop them. If you're going to actually stop them from the issue, then that's one thing. But these guys already have a bunch of packs, and the next pack is right down the street, and therefore he felt there was no hetzer in that case. Now, I think I want to end with what we've kind of all been waiting for, and that is the caveat of why not to do this or to be careful about this. So I want to quote from two different places. The first is that Tshuvas Asher Chanan. I'm going to read to you. I'm sorry I didn't make my Makomo sheets, but I'm going to read to you right now from how he concludes his tshuva. And I think he says something very insightful and important when it comes to this halacha. He says, Rak shebiyameinu tzarech la'asos kein b'chachma bina v'das. He says, nowadays, you got to be intelligent if you're going to do something like this. V'shelo yitpas hamazachas v'shalom. And certainly, don't get caught. L'valya aleinu v'aleichem avon chil Hashem. Because it's going to be a chil Hashem. Hanora, tarbal chil Hashem. If they see religious Jews are going and damaging people's property. And you're going to lose out more than what you think you're going to fix. Certainly, if you're going to get caught and against the laws of the country, it's better to sit and to do nothing. He says, because even if we don't like the laws, we can't simply impose our religious will on the heads of other people. This is simply part of being in Galus and not having, you know, a complete Torah state and country. And that's warning number one. Don't be a fool if it's going to make a Birchel Hashem. The second caveat is from Sternbach. Sternbach also has a tshuva. This apparently was a popular sugya in the 70s and 80s about breaking the TV. So he was asked the question about breaking the TV by a Baal Tshuva. Can you break the family television in order to prevent people from watching it? And he cites our Gemara and Brachos and the story of Rachel taking the idols from Lavan. But says Rosh Sternbach, we see that Yaakov didn't agree with taking the idols, right? Yaakov was not a fan of what Rachel did. And Rachel was punished because she did that. In addition, he says the best way to deal with people is not to break their things. Instead, you should talk to them about their negative effects of television and talk to them about improving their ways. And therefore, when it comes to causing a monetary loss in order to prevent people from doing averos, it's always good to first ask a shaila first. Rachel didn't ask Yaakov. And second of all, breaking things are not the first way to go about things. Talk to people, open up their hearts, open up their minds, and try to connect to them in a different way. So there we see halacha from the parsha. Technically, are there grounds for breaking things that belong to people that are chafzah shel iser? Yes. Is it the right thing to do? Perhaps no. Okay. We will stop here.